Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live across the known galaxy on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, you name it. Just look up Secrets of the Sire. Tonight, we've got a great show tonight. We are doing our annual Thanksgiving. It's a night before Thanksgiving show. So what are you thankful for in 2018 in the pop culture universe? What makes the pop culture gravy list and who gets stuffed with a turkey leg? That's what we're going to be going through. Our good and our bad.
Can't cut through all those metaphors.
We are also going to be welcoming actor and star of When We Dance, The Music Dies, William Ragsdale, alongside director Anthony DeLioncourt. For an in-depth discussion on that, plus a lot of other things. I am your host, Michael Dolce, as always joined by my co-host, Mr. Hassan Godwin, Lord of the Radio.
Hello. How's it going?
You feeling festive tonight?
Always. Don't I look festive?
You always look festive.
I'm always like the life of the party.
I agree with that. I don't disagree with that.
You don't disagree with that?
I don't.
Because you know what will happen if you do.
I don't know.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. I know where you live. So we're gonna talk about giving thanks and all that rotten stuff.
Yeah, we're going to be doing some fun stuff.
Oh.
Totally fun stuff.
You call it fun.
Well, you know.
What are you thankful for?
I am thankful that we are streaming on my personal page and not my Secrets of the Sire page. How's that? How's that for...
That's why you're thankful?
That's what I'm thankful, yeah.
Why does that make you thankful?
Because I just thought it was really kind of funny that I realized it just this moment that I had to fix that. No, I'm thankful for a lot of good things. So let's jump into what are we thankful for? Pop culture world, you know, what's the pop culture gravy of 2018?
Pop culture gravy.
You like that? See, I spent a lot of time on
it. I don't know if I like it. I didn't say I liked it. I'm just repeating it.
Okay, well,
I might not like it.
I assumed by you.
That's the assumption thing. You shouldn't do that.
No, I know.
That's dangerous.
I'm just saying.
Come to the end
I
of the year.
I assumed that's what you...
Okay, what do you mean by that, though, pop culture gravy train?
Like, what was the good?
Of this year?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there's, I'll start off with number one. I think Infinity War was tremendous, right? I mean, here's the funny thing, right? I actually looked back.
It's hard to believe that was this year because it was so early in the year.
Well, okay, you know what my number two is? Black Panther. I feel like Black Panther was like three years ago.
That was at the start of the year.
But it was there.
Yeah.
And yeah,
there was a lot that happened this summer.
Yeah.
I mean, this year, excuse me, this in 2018.
Yeah, so no.
2018 is over already. That's
I typed in 2018 movies just to prep for tonight's show.
Right.
And there was just like a colossal list. And I'm like, wow, that was this year? Oh, yeah, that was it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, we got a lot.
I don't even remember what happened in 2017. Did anything good happen in 2017? Because everything seemed to happen this year.
Yeah, I think 2018 was the year.
Yeah,
I think there's without a doubt. I mean,
actually, I would. This is terrible. This sucks so bad. I would add Solo into the.
Solo's number six on my list.
Six on your list?
Yeah. Do you know what?
They actually made your top 10, though.
It's a top 9.
Oh, well.
Because there just wasn't enough room. And we haven't seen Aquaman yet because it isn't out yet.
I have not seen
Aquaman.
And
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is not out yet.
No.
And if we're going to do Bumblebee possibly, that's not out yet either. So
there's still three to go.
That'll kind of foil, you know, flow into next year's, you know, pop culture gravy.
Right. Right.
No,
we didn't have certain staples. Like we didn't have Stranger Things.
Yeah.
We didn't have Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have those things this year.
Right.
Because they bypassed us. We did get a second season of Westworld.
Yeah, and that did not make the cut. In fact, that will be potentially on my top 10 list of turkeys. See that? See like and you got to see the animation for it. It's fantastic.
So proud of that.
I really am. Yeah. No, I really legitimately am. No, you know what? You know what number 3 on my list is?
What's that?
We're showing it right now. Venom.
Venom.
I'm going to give that in. It's in my top 3, and I'll tell you why.
Venom is in your top 3.
Yeah, and it beats Solo. Venom. It beats Deadpool 2. It beats these are all. Let's be clear. These are all great things that happened this year. These are all wins. Like if you're looking in the pop culture win loss column, this is a win. The turkeys will be a loss. Like that's how we're kind of judging it. So this is my own personal list, though, of where they rank in order. And I got Infinity War as number one because I think Infinity War, no matter what, as monumental as Black Panther was and as good a movie as Black Panther was, Infinity War had so much hype leading up to it. For it to actually deliver, for me, gives it number one. Black Panther was a little sneakier, you know, because people were excited for Black Panther, but you didn't realize like what the zeitgeist was going to be for that movie. So when it hit, it definitely overwhelmed. But it didn't have anything to really live up to going in. People were just gonna, I think people were gonna enjoy it for what it was. Venom to me is a secret win, and why it's number three is because everyone not only did it have the bad expectations coming in from the poor CGI and all the trailers. The movie itself is questionable. There's no question about it. But do you know how much money it made and how widely non-critically received it was from fans? Fans love it. They eat it up. Like, it's so, to me, I'm sitting there going, you know what? This is it was a cheesy movie. It was a cheesy good time. I had a cheesy good time. And it was fun. And at the end of the day, I'm sitting there going, you know what? If I rank my experience coming out of Venom versus, I don't know, Deadpool 2, I give my experience from Venom a higher thumbs up. I thought Deadpool 2, again, had expectations, didn't quite live up to them. I have Mission Impossible 6 on that list as well, too, because I thought, we covered that. That was my number four, because, again, that to me was almost, that was an unexpected superhero movie, right? It was a movie we didn't know.
Well, I knew.
Well, we didn't know it was going to be a superhero movie, but essentially that's what it.
You didn't see the other.
I did, but I did. But you know what? I never looked at it that way. But yeah, Solo is up there. I think Solo is there. Daredevil season 3 is on my list. As of things that are exciting. Ant-Man and Wasp.
Okay. Okay.
And
stop.
A little bit of it.
Stop.
And Ready Player One.
Stop.
Those are my pop culture.
See, this is the thing. This is why we never agree on anything, because you're always the business aspect of everything.
Not necessarily.
And the business you just proved it this time. But the business aspect of everything trumps anything else. The success in business means that it was successful, regardless of what you felt about it or not. That's like your track you usually take. Because Venom was garbage.
Yes.
It was a garbage movie.
It was cheesy fun, though.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't fun because it was garbage. I was busy watching it going, this is garbage.
It was cheesy fun.
In your book, are we talking about you?
Well, I'm just saying.
Are we talking about me?
I don't know who we're talking about.
I was talking about me.
All right.
It's cheesy. It's not cheesy fun. I don't find cheesiness fun.
You don't?
No.
All right.
Garbage.
Garbage.
But you think it's good because of how successful it was in spite of it being garbage.
I enjoyed the movie, though. I actually enjoyed the...
It made your top three.
Yes.
Over other movies that were better made, but yet didn't achieve as much financially. Or success?
No, I would say expectation-wise. I think that's the biggest thing. I think there's expectations going in for something is going to be good or bad.
But who cares about other people's expectations?
But I think your own expectation. There's no way you can go into a movie and not be influenced
by...
Did the movie
exceeded your expectations?
Yes.
Then?
That's why it made my top three. It exceeded... It absolutely did. It looked like it was going to be so bad. But it was bad in kind
because
of a fun way.
Bad.
It was bad in a fun way, though. It was bad, and I'm kind of enjoying this. I'm kind of like there are things about
you
this.
You enjoyed that more than you enjoyed Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, gosh. Ant-Man and Wasp was, that was.
Which is just,
again,
doesn't make any
it
sense.
It was. These are all wins. These are all, I'm not breaking one, but absolutely. Ant-Man and Wasp, to me, was.
Nonsense.
Was,
that's absolute nonsense.
What? I walked out of Ant-Man and Wasp going,
why?
Mainly because the movie I liked Michael Peña. I thought he was the best part of the movie. I thought he was the funniest part. I thought the villain could have been amazing, but it was inconsistent. And I thought just in general
more inconsistent than Venom.
Again, the whole movie it worked. It worked in the context of what Venom was. Ant-Man and Wasp, meanwhile,
it's all right for you to take it in a different context, right? And look at it from a completely different lens and then decide it's an okay movie or a good movie because of the lens that you decided to put it in, that you decided to filter it through.
Yeah.
And the exceeded expectations, it exceeded your lowered expectations.
Yes.
And so now you're allowed to put it on the top three. Right?
Yes.
But when other people do that with various other movies, which will not be named or mentioned,
They will be in the turkey section.
Huh? You could put them on the turkey section if you want, you knucklehead. But it's all of a sudden it's a crime against humanity.
Yeah.
That doesn't track. That doesn't track. I don't accept it. I don't accept you, number three.
I will tell you right now, though.
I do not accept you.
I'm going to tell you, though. Everything, like, there's a case by case basis, okay? And a formula that can work for one movie is not going to necessarily work for another movie. And things that, if all the things that were wrong with Venom were put into an MCU film, I would not be walking away from the MCU film feeling that it was good.
So you're comparing it not on the merits of it of its own presentation, but you're comparing it to the previous achievements of that studio, as opposed to a movie standing on its own merits.
If you buy an album and it's from a band, it's the second album after their smash. How do you not have it somewhat be dictated by what came before?
It's fine if it's dictated by what came before, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to take that and take another album that I had no expectations for and decide that this album was better crafted than the album of the previous band because of how I interpret the alterations of my expectations of that previous schlock band. No, that's not.
But if a schlock band, who you're for months leading up to this album release, you just know it's like, this is not going to be good, and then it turns and you listen to the album, and you go, hey, this is actually pretty good.
I would file that away as, wow, I completely did not see that coming. It exceeded my expectations. That does not mean it's better than Led Zeppelin 2. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
Well, but that's okay. So my question is, what on my list? I put Infinity War and Black Panther above Venom. Okay. What after that? What comes after that? That's better. The only reason MI6 is below Venom is because I'm calling it a superhero movie. It's obviously not a superhero movie.
This is the thing again. This is your categorizations are your own.
Yeah.
Yeah, the product of your own quirk.
What does it say at the bottom there? Secrets of the Sire. Who created this show? This guy. Who sets the tables here? These are my expectations.
Is that really how you want to play the rest of the show? Because, brother,
I'm just saying.
I'll change the script on you. I really will. If you want to, all right, you want to do it that way, that's
fine. It's
going
to be an empty seat there for the rest of the show.
Yeah, excellent.
It's going to be an empty seat.
Excellent choice there,
like,
Michael.
I'm going to be like, what do you think about this? And it just be like a microphone.
With a hat on it. Yeah. I'll put a hat on it.
No, just put your coffee there. Put your coffee there.
Yeah.
It'll be like, just have the coffee talking into the mic. We're cutting edge. All right. We're going to keep going with our gravy. We're going to get into our turkey when we get back. And I want to know from you guys, what are you thankful for? Do you agree with what we're talking about here? Chime in on the Facebook feed or the YouTube feed or even on our Twitter feed. What is your favorite Thanksgiving dinner plate? We're going to get that later in the show when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Forever Night TV series,
yes.
As well, too. I've never even heard of it. I have no idea what that is.
You don't know Forever
Night? No, I don't know Forever Night.
Good Lord.
I don't know. I used to watch other things, you know, when I was a kid.
Well, I'm sure that information is useful.
You're have you ever seen the movie Blown Away?
Nicole Eggert and the other girl from something. She ended up on 90210.
There was another girl on that?
You're just making this weird now, man.
Yeah.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc. We are talking pop culture gravy, 2018, that's our best of. Talking pop culture turkey in 2018, that is our worst of. Got into a little bit of a debate here with my co-host.
Not a debate, it's your show, do whatever you want.
As to where Venom ranks. Let me ask you a question. Is Venom even gravy to you?
Yeah, it's gravy.
It is gravy. It's not turkey. Turkey's bad, gravy good.
I don't know if it fits. I don't know if it's exactly gravy, but it's not a turkey.
It's not a turkey.
It wasn't
turkey,
a turkey.
Right. Why would you say
gravy.
That? Why would you say it's not a turkey? What are your reasons? Why was it?
Because I've seen like really turkey movies this year, like not great pieces of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's not in my top five. I don't even know if it's in my top 10.
Where does, the confines of our discussion are related to comic book movies, superhero movies. Action kind of falls into sci-fi, falls into that. So, I mean, you could put Jurassic World somewhere in there or Jurassic Kingdom somewhere in the list, and I wouldn't deny that for the gravy aspect of this discussion. But, I don't know. I would say overall, though, I couldn't get more than 9 gravies out of this. Maybe Jurassic Kingdom would be the number 10 of like gravy of the year. Maybe. Mm. Where do you put Solo?
Solo's probably number 4 in my.
So what's your top 3 gravy. Right now? What's your top 3 right now?
Black Panther, Infinity War, and Mission Impossible.
Okay. That's a good top 3. Again, Mission Impossible was my
Mission
was my
Impossible
four.
Was in my opinion, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would be disappointed with the film.
Yeah.
Just by previews. And if you get a good preview with a... Oh, man. It's so shilling. But if you get a good preview with a Tom Cruise movie, it's probably going to be a good movie.
Yeah.
Because his movies kind of don't slack off. And this one had a lot of suspense to it.
Yeah.
There was a lot of tension. It didn't feel old. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it where it's like, we're doing this again, but it doesn't feel old. because it is the same. I mean, but I guess it's the same as a James Bond movie.
Right.
I guess it's the same formula where James Bond has not felt old, you know, after 20 movies, you know,
and
4 different James Bonds. It just, you know, all right, here we go again. So
in and of itself, that is an impressive thing as well, too.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. But it's weird how it doesn't... the stakes aren't the same as the James Bond for Ethan Hunt.
Yeah.
And it's just... And also, James Bond has the luxury of, like, you know, going, you know, being able to change his face like Doctor Who.
Sure.
Because he's looked quite different since the 60s.
Sure.
Right? So, and Ethan Hunt has been Ethan Hunt for all 6 movies, right? He's
right.
been Tom Cruise. So it's just weird how you can watch all this stuff and it doesn't. And he gets betrayed by the same people. He gets caught in the same traps, the same rhetorical, rhetoric and rhetorical rhetoric. Nicely done. That was me. That was all me by myself.
This is why you're not leaving the show.
Yeah. There's no beers tonight.
There's no mutiny. There's no,
yeah. But so yeah, that would be number three. I think Infinity War is a bigger movie than Black Panther.
Yeah.
But the reason I don't put Infinity War as number one is because there really wasn't anything to Infinity War. It was an excellent execution of a big blockbuster film.
Yeah.
But there wasn't... The biggest intrigue for me, and I think I've said this on the show, the biggest intrigue for me is like, okay, how are you going to do... Like, what's the story going to be about?
Sure.
Because this is... You know, and I never read the Infinity Gauntlet.
I ended up reading it. Yeah,
I'm one of the few in the proud.
Don't admit to it on the show, though.
I just did.
I know.
Yeah, I'm rebelling.
That's your fail.
I don't do what you tell me.
That's your big fail.
But so my whole point was, okay, you've been building this up for 20 movies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Explain to me how this is gonna live up to the hype. Like, explain to me how you're gonna actually make this work, because you've been through two galaxies. Like, 10 different franchises or whatever, you've been hinting at this whole thing coming up. And there's just no way you're going to be able to fulfill this. And they did.
Right.
Which is successful. But they did it in kind of the most rudimentary way you could possibly do it, where it's just like...
But they did it. I mean, that's, you know...
Yeah, but it's like it's a search movie, but done from the villain's point of view. So, like,
so once, you are admitting that expectations going in...
It wasn't about expectation.
Or build up, or...
It wasn't.
No?
It holds a place. It holds a place of high esteem.
But it doesn't... But I'm just saying, it absolutely shapes your opinion, though. It influences your opinion of the movie.
No, I didn't have an opinion. I wanted to know how you were going to do it. And once I realized how they were going to do it,
yeah,
I was like, oh, okay.
All right.
And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And it went really well in how they did it. But it was kind of just rudimentary. It was just kind of like, oh, it's a grail chase.
Yeah.
It's a MacGuffin. It's a classic MacGuffin story, except the villain was the one who wanted to get the MacGuffin. It was a Horcrux, but from backwards, you know? So once that the secrets of that were revealed,
mm-hmm.
It was still a blockbuster, still a great movie, but it just slightly less intriguing.
Okay.
Than the anticipation of what it could have been.
Yeah.
It's like Christmas presents, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got a lot of great things, but the night before looking at all those wrap presents was much more tantalizing than the day after you've opened them all.
Yeah.
Because those presents could be anything.
Sure.
So that's kind of how I look
okay.
at it.
Okay. All right. All right. We've been talking gravy, pop culture gravy of 2018. Mm. I want to get your, we'll do this at the end of the show too. I want to get your favorite Thanksgiving dish. I want to know your guys' favorite Thanksgiving dish too. It's a favorite question. I like people's responses to this, because some people, I heard some guy today on the radio say green bean casserole was his favorite. And I was like, wow, that's epic. Okay. Wow. But before we do, let's talk turkey. What are the pop culture turkeys of 2018? The things that went awry. I put number one on my list, Comicsgate, as the pop culture turkey of 2018.
Ooh, we're going to go on record. We're going to go on record talking about...
I think, you know, here's the funny part, right? I was actually going to put it in our gravy section, only because of how much fodder it gave us to talk this year. It actually gave us like two or three episodes and gave us a lot of engagement. And so from a purely selfish standpoint,
right,
we were very happy that Comicsgate was there. But then I was like, I don't want people to think that we're endorsing it. So I'm going to put it in our turkey section.
Right.
I have also, and I know this came out in 2017, but it came out at the very end of 2017, and it really spilled over into 2018, which is Last Jedi. I had Last Jedi in our turkeys of 2018.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think even the other day, so we're talking a full year after Last Jedi comes out. What do I see
on Twitter?
We're
almost at a year. We're almost at the year mark.
What do I see on Twitter? If you don't like Last Jedi, you're a racist and you have no place on Twitter. Please leave and never friend me again. And I'm sitting there going, but I'm not a racist and I don't like Last Jedi.
What does it have to do with racism, though?
Because,
what is the Last
because
Jedi?
Of the...
There's one black guy in The Last Jedi.
Because of the diversity and inclusive casting, that went into it, I guess people take direct offense to anyone who doesn't like Last Jedi and immediately brands them as racists. There are definitely some racists out there. There are definitely people who don't like the movie because of the diverse cast. I am not one of those. You're not one of those. We didn't like the movie because the movie was bad. It was just a bad movie. But I'm just saying, it, even right now, it's still being talked about. So that's why I included it in my turkeys of 2018.
Yeah.
Which, again...
It would have to be. It would have to be on my
list. For the purpose of our show, these all should be gravy topics, because the negging, the neg is always better. The negative is always better for us than the positive.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Positive, but people very rarely want to come on and celebrate the positive. Infinity War and Black Panther happened to be two things that people wanted to celebrate as a positive.
Yeah.
Together.
And
in unison.
Was so happy to have something to actually... It was really weird. It's awkward to celebrate something.
Yeah.
That much.
Yeah.
Wow.
You want me to keep going, or you want to, or you, or do you want to pit stop on Last Jedi?
That'll take up the rest of the show. That is a ghastly movie. Like, every time I think about it, every time I've tried to give it another shot, just all right. Well, maybe there's a couple of moments in it, because for the Force Awakens, I didn't really love the Force Awakens, but there were some good moments in
sure.
it. Sure. So, in just attempting, but it's just bad.
Yeah.
It's just plain bad.
Yeah,
it's not good. So, yeah, all right. I'm gonna put that on my turkey list also.
Yeah, that's turkey.
Yeah, that's a no that's an absolute turkey.
Walking Dead is on the turkey's
Walking
list.
Walking Dead is a turkey.
So I just completed the graphic novel Past Negan now. Right, I'm actually and for the first time ever, I actually enjoyed the show more than the comic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm diving ahead in the comic because I want to know. Am I going to waste my time on the show anymore after the whole Negan thing? So I'm actually reading past it, and already the season 9 premiere is 100% is like a million times different than where the comic went. I'm sure there's going to be stuff that integrates into it and kind of, you know,
right,
weaves back and forth. I know it's only one episode, but immediately I'm sitting there going like, okay, this is totally different. So maybe I can just keep reading the graphic novel now, and the show's just going to do its own thing. I don't know. But in the graphic novel, they spend 1 year on Negan. The show spent 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Two
Three.
Long.
Now if you take...
Drawn out years.
If you
to
take
get,
this year into account, because he's still there and Rick is gone, so they're gonna prop him up somehow.
That's fair, because this is technically now... it's past the war, okay? I guess that's what I could say. It's past the war. But if they could have just condensed and done what the comic did and just spent 1 year and make it tight and make it as good as you possibly... I mean... Glenn gets killed at the season premiere of that one episode, and Abraham gets killed at the season premiere of that one episode.
Right.
And by the time we're in that finale, the Negan storyline should be over. It should
be
over.
Yeah, I might have come back if that had been
exactly
the case. But
exactly. And so
when I got to that season finale, and they killed off Shaniqua Martin Green, and they still...
Yeah.
And Negan just kind of rode away on a truck.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you want me to be here after the summer?
Right.
Wait, after that?
I know.
BS? Nah,
I know.
No.
I know. And then even the mid-season finale, too, it's like... Rick, you could kill him. You could kill Negan.
Nope.
And then it's like, oh, garbage lady, you got Negan. You should kill him. Just nope. Simon, you want to kill him. Just kill him. Just
nope.
Everyone, like, there's so many opportunities to kill him. And you're like, okay, obviously, they're just dragging this thing out. All right.
Yep.
When we come back, I'm going to give you my final turkey of 2018. And then we have an awesome pair of guests coming on. We have William Ragsdale and Anthony DeLionCourt coming on, talking about the new indie film that they are a part of. It's going to be really exciting when we come back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
I go to the same movie theater. It's in the middle of the city.
Yeah, that's New York City, where we broadcast from.
Oh, yes. Okay. Apologies.
We're city snobs, though. I mean, that's
yeah,
just
we are.
To do.
New York is the city.
Right.
So
there is no other.
Everybody, Salt Lake, you guys can go to hell. Okay?
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. We do this every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc, and streaming live on facebook.com/secretsofthesire, twitter.com, go to my personal Twitter page, Michael_Dolce, and youtube.com/secretsofthesire. Really excited about our next pair of guests. We'll get into our final turkey of the year in our last segment, and I want to know your best Thanksgiving plates as well, too, so we're going to get into that as well, too. And we got some spinning the racks, but... really excited. We've got writer-director Anthony DeLionCourt and star of his new film, William Ragsdale. His new film, When We Dance, The Music Dies. Anthony and William, are you there?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, man? Yes, it's William's here. I guess Anthony is too. Hi.
I'm going to referee this. I'm going to guide this as easy as possible so we're not talking over each other. But it is a pleasure to have both of you here. Anthony, I want to start with you. Talk to us about When We Dance, The Music Dies. This is your own creation. You wrote it. You directed it. You have an amazing cast in this. Give our audience an overview of the film, and how did you snag so many great, talented people for this movie?
Oh, cool. The film's essentially about a father looking for his missing daughter. It also revolves around the urban legend about the elevator game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever heard about that.
I have.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It started in Japan or whatever, where you do a series of numbers and it like in an elevator and it takes you to like another world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of revolves around the film too. It's like a plot device, but yeah, it's sort of like a weird film, kind of like David Lynchian sort of vibe to it and everything. And as far as the cast is concerned, I mean, it's crazy, but they sort of all like auditioned, and it blew my mind. You know, I was like, "Oh wow!" I mean, because like I always wanted, because my films do always have, they have like an '80s aesthetic, and you know, I grew up watching these guys. You know, William. I mean, forget it. My film partner, Mark Madsen. His favorite film is Fright Night.
Mm-hmm.
So when we saw him come up in the breakdown, I mean, we almost fainted. So. it was nuts. So it just worked out through casting and everything, and it was great. They, you know, William was awesome, and so was Catherine. You know, it was really fun.
For the audience out there, Eric Roberts is in this. Catherine Mary Stewart is in this from Last Starfighter. So awesome. I mean, just truly amazing. William, how did you get involved? How did you want to get involved? You know, what was your thinking when you read the script and became a part of this movie?
Well, like Anthony said, I had auditioned for it. My agent sent me the script and I read it and I thought, wow, this is really a strange and kind of wonderful piece, and I would love to see what's going on with it. And so I went in and I read for it, and seemed to go well, and I just thought it was a very creative, kind of outside of the box script to begin with. It
mm-hmm.
was kind of a little bit of sci-fi, a little horror, a little mystery, all thrown into one. And it was, you know, and the script was written sort of in a way. It was almost like a short story.
Yeah.
So it was really engrossing, and you know, it wasn't just shot by shot. It was sort of getting into the minds of the character, and as Anthony said, it's about the elevator game, which is about sort of using a I dare you game to latch into a different reality, and that's kind of where it went. And then you came back and watched the earthly part of it.
Sure.
Is sort of the crux of the story.
That's very cool. Anthony, you guys had your premiere last week. What's been the critical reception to this, and what's been the, you know, just the audience reception to the film so far?
Actually, it was more of like a soft premiere. We actually postponed the actual premiere till January. So it was just a small little group of us just watching like a rough cut, because I wasn't exactly finished with it yet. It's a few things I needed to complete. So, so we haven't had any sort of reviews yet on it, but that's going to start up probably around December, and then we'll have the real premiere screening in January.
What's been just the reaction from the people that saw the rough cut? I mean, and is there an aspect to their reaction that's going to influence what the final cut ends up being?
They love the visuals. They're really into that a lot. A lot of people said stuff like that, and of course they liked William a lot because he's very charming on screen. You know, he really I loved about him, because even if he's, you know, he's playing this like desperate man, but and some of the stuff he does is a little wrong, but you still love him anyway because he has that charm to him. So everyone, liked him, and they thought Eric Roberts was crazy. So
I think everyone thinks that anyway.
He was just a nut, so it worked out well. It was kind of like, that's kind of like the reaction I was going for.
That's excellent, William. So I mean, your IMDb list is just unbelievable, and there's so many people. So when we promote that you're going to be on the show, we have people who are like Fright Night fans. Then we have people who are like myself, who are just big Herman's Head fans back in the day. I mean, you've had such diverse roles that people know you from different things. What do you find people know you most for? And what are you personally, out of everything you've done, and doesn't have to be those two things I mentioned, are you like, you know, just really proud that you were a part of?
Well, Michael, it seems like you're a mannequin too on the move.
So, my co-host said that, coming in.
I don't want to out you or anything, but I can hear it in your voice. Seriously, this time of year, you know, it's the Fright Night people come out, and I'm a little more familiar to people this time of year because of that. And then there's that kind of old school early Fox days populace that remembers Herman's Head and sort of the outside the boxness of that show.
But, that was a great show.
You know, it's longevity at this point, and I'm always looking for a, you know, challenge and something fun and something that's going to sort of come at things from another angle. And but you know, and also there's the murderer of the week, which I tend to do on TV.
I saw that. I saw that.
It's all good.
this is a personally indulging question, I have to say, though. The Herman's Head set, I mean, what was that like? I mean, it was an amazing cast, and it was just an amazing... I'm telling you, loved that show, yeah. You know, back in the day. Yeah, I mean, what was it like when you were on set, you know, doing that? What was the experience?
It was a crazy show.
Yeah, what
it
was
really
it?
Was
it
a
really
crazy
was,
show.
But it was so inventive. it was different. It was cool.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it was. We shot it kind of like how they used to shoot sitcoms. You know, it was they would shoot everything in order, you know, in front of the audience, and so it was like a play. You know, people would. Mm-hmm. Sit there from point A to point Z, and they would follow along. It was a little weird because a little different because we had actually two separate sets. There was the outer, you know, the exoskeleton set, and there was the interior brain set. But they would go at the same time, and we would do the scenes in order. So it wasn't like we shot all of the brain stuff and then all of the outside stuff. It was the people could get. What was
okay?
What was going on with the character? You know, what was going on in the story? They could go back and forth between Herman's outer life and his inner life.
That's That's awesome. <Yeah. laughs> It's just great. I mean, this, you know, at the end of the day, we're just total fanboys when it comes to this stuff. What do you prefer acting in? I mean, you've touched horror, with this new movie, When We Dance, the Music Dies. This is kind of psychological in nature. And then Herman's Head is just comedy. Straight up sitcom. I mean, what's your preferred genre?
You know, whatever works. I mean, everything works in its own way, and whatever engages and sort of challenges and pulls you along, I enjoy. I mean, it can be, you know, it could be a sitcom, or it could be some, you know, sort of an artsy kind of odd movie. And, the story is the thing that engrosses you and pulls you along. So, I mean, I like going into places that are unexpected, and you know, and then once I'm there, I go, oh yeah, that's why I'm here. and that's what I enjoy, and that's what drew me to this, actually.
Very cool, Anthony. Take me through the process after the film's released. What's the path that people are going to be able to engage with this movie?
So, probably after January, we're going to search for trying to find distribution for it and a home for it and everything. So, hopefully it'll be available. I mean, we're trying to go for Netflix and stuff, sure. So hopefully it'll wind up on there. I would like to just maybe make it a digital release in the beginning. You know, that's kind of like my plan. And then if it does well, then it could possibly have a Blu-ray release and stuff like that. That's kind of like how I'm approaching distributors.
Okay.
Just because I know, like, it's for independent films, it's hard for distributors because... They invest a lot of money in something, especially burning a lot of Blu-rays and getting all that made is a big cost. So maybe I have a sort of plan for it. So hopefully they'll be down with it, and we could take it from there.
Well, you bring up a good point too, and this is the entrepreneurial side of myself that it gets fascinated by. You know, movies, like the entire movie business, is so different now because it's so accessible. I mean, you know, anybody with an HD cam at home theoretically could make a movie now that can blow up. I mean, you know, 20 years ago it was like Blair Witch Project, right? I mean, that's the one that kind of, you know, was the first where all of a sudden it was a little different in how you make movies, and you don't need a big budget, you don't need all this different stuff. I mean, do you find this just very exciting, like an exciting time to be an independent filmmaker?
Oh, absolutely, because the technology is all there. It's crazy. I mean, in the process of making this film, I always worried about the audio. You know, that was my biggest thing. And I would say probably 6 months ago, this unbelievable program came out that can clean audio, like, for a reasonable price. It just blew my mind. I've been looking for something like this forever, and I just can't believe where technology is going. It completely opened so many doors for everybody who, you know, was always interested in film. Because I, you know, back in the day when I was younger, like in high school and stuff, yeah, I took TV production and whatnot, but you know, work with camcorders and, you know, VHS, and you never could get good cinematography. It was always crap, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what you did. So, but now, with this new technology boom, I mean, it's unbelievable what you could do, and for, like, this fraction of the price. So, you know, you could focus your money on, you know, really good actors and locations and things like that, as opposed to, you know, having get film developed and all this other stuff. So it's amazing.
All right, it is the night before Thanksgiving, so we have a little Thanksgiving theme show. We were talking about our pop culture gravy of 2018. You know, so what were the things that we were thankful for? What are the things that we loved in the world of pop culture? Hassan and I talked about Infinity War and Black Panther coming out. William, I'll start with you. What is your pop culture gravy? What is the one show, the one movie, the one book? You know, that you just couldn't get enough of in 2018.
I'm going to cede that territory to my kids, who are much more plugged into it than I am. But I would say Black Panther, yeah, because that's their go-to superhero, and Ant-Man. But Black Panther sort of opened up a world to them that they were not used to seeing as sci-fi and superhero fans. And you know, and it's given us a chance to talk about things culturally, especially, you know, with stuff that's going on now, and to cover a lot of bases. And you know, it was great. I mean, it just it's the kind of thing where you heard on radio and interviews that it was so long overdue, and you see it, and it's like, oh, yeah, that is long overdue.
That's, yeah.
I get it now, so I guess that would probably be mine.
I chuckled because my co-host was miming his celebratory dance next to me as you said that, because that was his number one. I went Infinity War 1, Black Panther 2.
He also said Ant-Man, which was another one in line.
Ant-Man's not a good movie.
Okay.
It's at the
right.
bottom.
Don't argue with the guests. Don't argue with the guests.
You know, it's not me. I'm the messenger.
Anthony, what do you got? What's your pop culture gravy?
I would say, I don't know if you guys seen this, but the film Unsane.
No. I did see that.
The Cronenberg film?
I did see it.
I didn't see that, no.
I did see it.
I'm admitting that on my show.
Yeah. Speaking of Blair Witch,
it is an unsane movie.
What was
really cool.
It was.
Yeah,
I love
that movie.
I'm going to put
shot
that
on an iPhone.
Yeah, it was shot on an iPhone.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, that came and went very fast, too. It didn't really have a lot of staying power, but, you know, those kind of movies become cult classics, you know, when enough people start talking about them. That's a pretty cool one. All right, very, very quickly as well, too. Anthony, we'll start with you. Favorite Thanksgiving dish? What's your favorite?
I like the leg. The leg, man.
Going right.
Takes it, so it sucks.
I love it. See, I love it. This is a great question. William, what do you got? What's your favorite dish at Thanksgiving? What's the one thing that you love above all other on the menu?
I made about 8 things this year, but my favorite is still the little green olives that just sit in the little plate, because they're like the MC of the show. You know? They come between each act, and I don't know. That's just what I've always liked.
See,
so there. I'm saying that, you know, I'll go with that for my cultural thing for 2018, too, the return of the green olives.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. Anthony, real quick, tell us right now at this point where people can kind of, you know, read about this or hear about it, or, you know, social media. What do we got for the movie?
We have a teaser trailer. If you Google When We Dance the Music Dies trailer, it'll come right up. And also I have an Instagram. It's at ADL Productions.
Very, very cool. William, where can people find you online?
At ADL, I guess. pretty much it. Just, you know, all over. I'm a mess. You know, I'm all over the place.
Awesome.
Well, you're welcome to bring your mess on the show anytime. Gentlemen, thank you
so much.
All right, come back, we're gonna go spinning the racks and we're gonna reveal our favorite dishes and our least favorite dishes. I got a real big problem with stuffing when we come back.
Well,
you're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Do you know how long it's been since I've been wanting to just sacrifice all your beliefs just for the show?
To give up all my beliefs? Well, I actually don't really have any beliefs, which is why it's been so hard for you to find out what my beliefs are to get me to betray them. I'm kind of a nihilist. I don't really believe in anything, except for sandwiches.
Secrets of the Sire.
Welcome back to Secrets of the Sire. Happy Thanksgiving Eve, everybody. If you're out in the biggest bar night of the year, which is tonight, it's the biggest bar night of the year. Yeah, we had this exact same conversation last year where I said that. I think even the year before, too, where I said this is the biggest bar night. And Sam looked at me and goes, that's the biggest bar night? And I go, yes, this is the biggest bar night.
No, the biggest bar night is when they do the Santa crawl.
No. Biggest bar night is now. So if you're out there drinking, please get an Uber, walk, do anything you can.
Yeah. When we were at Wizard, we used to have the big Wednesday. The Wednesday blowout.
Well, because everyone's home from college. It's like the mini high school reunion.
Yeah, but even I wasn't in college at the time. We were young adults.
Well, no, because then other people just go out because everyone else is going out. Mm-hmm. It's a big, you know, no one's for the most part getting up tomorrow because it's Thanksgiving. I will because I have a son and he gets up at 5:45.
You've spawned.
Yeah, I know.
Poor baby.
before we get into our turkey plates, again, I want to thank our guests, William Ragsdale and Anthony DeLionCourt. Very cool. I definitely want to check out the film. I actually got invited.
Is it DeLionCourt or DeLionCourt?
Oh, gosh. If it's that, I butchered it. Which is
you did.
Which is right in, on par for what I
He's
do.
He's probably so used to it, though.
I didn't. At least I didn't butcher William Ragsdale. See, so that's good. Everything worked out.
One of our producers, Mr. Hovecki.
Yeah,
that's not how you pronounce his last name. But he's done 20 years. He's done correcting people.
How do you pronounce it?
It's Hovecki.
It's like tomato, tomato.
That's his name. He could decide how it's pronounced.
No,
he can't. Okay.
Not on my show.
Okay. Yeah. Right. There you go. It's your show.
We do this every week. We go spinning the racks. Bringing you the most fantastical pop culture news.
Spin around. It's time for a new show. That's what I'm thinking.
Margot Robbie reveals full Birds of Prey title. The title of the new Birds of Prey movie is going to be The Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. Yes, that is not a fabrication. It is official.
That's an unfortunate title. That's how I would refer to that.
She released it on Instagram today.
I bet you she was proud of that.
It is.
I bet she did that with a smile on her face.
Robbie has no. Actually, the picture has a little Harley Quinn lipstick on it, and it's actually a pretty colorful shot. So go on her Instagram page. The script for Birds of Prey is there. It includes a handwritten edition revealing the name is Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. The Hollywood Reporter has confirmed that is the official title and not just a star having some fun.
Ah, okay.
What do you think, though?
No.
No. Gravy. Or turkey. I think we're gonna do this for every show. Like, I'm getting hungry though. I'm kind of like into this now.
It ain't gravy. Look, it could be cute depending on how insane the movie is. If the movie is like it's insane pop culture, like blowout, where it's just this, it's like Clockwork Orange, where it's just absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Then it'll work. You know, if it's a good movie, it'll work.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a gravy, if everyone loves it, it'll work.
Yeah.
But right now, nah.
We got it up on the screen right now, so if you're on Facebook, you can check it out. It's pretty cool work of art, I'll be honest with you. Pretty exciting. I guess that's on delay. We're live.
See? You just told me to look.
Well, that's very true. Our audience out there will be able to look and see.
You're talking to them, not me.
We talked about our turkeys, which were the losers of 2018, and our gravy, which was the winners. The last turkey for me for this year, by the way. The Luke Cage Iron Fist cancellations.
You know what? I'd say the biggest turkey of the entire year is just the Marvel
Marvel Netflix
run.
In general?
Yeah, because a lot of them haven't been good.
Yeah.
A lot of them haven't lived up to their expectations. I've had a lot of situations where waiting for season two for a year and a half to 2 years, and then you get season two, and it's about the girl's mom, or it's, you know, it's Luke Cage becoming a villain, kind of. I haven't even watched the second Iron Fist because there was so much stigma to it. And the look, I know you haven't really gone too deep into it yet, but Daredevil 3, whereas it is...
I was going to ask, is that a gravy or a turkey for you?
It's more turkey than gravy.
Okay.
There's some really good stuff in it.
Yeah.
But you're just kind of like, okay, what's your point here? You're not... Mm. It's like they're prolonging the drama, but they're not really building to anything. So it's just an ongoing beating.
Okay.
And it's not really... No one's learning anything from the beating that they're
taking.
Isn't
that, though, kind of the problem with serialized TV in general? I mean,
no, I mean, there's other things. Look, like Stranger Things, like other television shows, which I cannot really name off the top of my head right now. But you have a Game of Thrones, or you have, there's the show The Expanse, which is a sci-fi show. There's some really great stuff where things do happen on a regular basis, but you do get the feeling we're going somewhere.
You're going somewhere
with
it. I gotcha.
We're going to get somewhere.
Well, I guess in general, Defenders was supposed to be that. And it wasn't.
And it just really wasn't. It just, they short shrifted the entire thing. And then the series, the seasons run too long.
Yeah.
And Defenders ran too short.
Yeah.
Because all these guys are together. You got all these personalities together in this one thing. And now you're only going to give us 8 episodes and you're going to have to rush us through it.
Yeah.
And
meanwhile, there's 13 episodes of like Luke Cage.
Exactly.
And Iron Fist,
and then you're
going to
give these
weak
villains, you know? And it just doesn't make any sense. Also, with the Defenders, which ruins everything, is that once you've seen the Defenders, you're wondering how come in their separate seasons, how come you guys aren't calling these other guys. So, you know, I know
I'm a little
Iron
more
forgi-
I'm a little
Power
more
Man.
Forgivable when it comes to that, cuz I
you should they should do things where people you just run into people. They did that in the MCU all the time where people just came running through the set.
Yeah.
It didn't cost anything.
Yeah.
You could do it with Stan Lee. You could do it with anything.
Real quick, favorite Thanksgiving dish?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese? See, I love... No one just says like turkey or mashed potatoes. Like that's...
Because I don't really like turkey.
I love turkey. I am a mashed potatoes guy, though. I'm going to go mashed potatoes all the time, always. People love... Sam, what about you?
Sweet potatoes with the mushrooms.
With the mushrooms on top.
That's exactly what I was going to say is my worst.
That's your least favorite. Turkey. I have a big problem with stuffing. People love stuffing. I think stuffing is just such a big waste.
You gave that away. Were you stovetop stuffing?
It doesn't matter. My mom's an amazing cook, and stuffing can go stuff itself. It's the one thing I will just not even go near. I've tried it. Wanted to like it because that seems to be like the number one consensus on a lot of people is like, oh, the stuffing.
It's safe, though, because no one's ever offended that you don't like their stuffing.
I guess so.
So you could do that.
All right. Join us next week. We'll be talking comics, movies, TV, and pop culture. The Governor's House is next.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.